Welcome to Real Hits. I'm Ben Albert of the Real Business Connections Network. Real Hits is where I rebroadcast some of the absolute best podcasts because they provide real value and insights on business and life. In our book, they are real hits. Full episodes in their entirety. This way, you can gain more value from other podcasters, personalities, and guests. Today, we listen to an episode from The Beau Knows Who Is Changing the World with Chris Jones. The Beau Knows Who Is Changing the World with Chris Jones. This episode is entitled Keep It Simple, Six Figure Simple with Brian Winch. I encourage you to subscribe to the Real Business Connections Network if you haven't yet. And when you're finished with that, check out the show notes and subscribe to The Beau Knows. Oh yeah, and if you'd like to submit your podcast to be featured on an upcoming Real Hits, DM me on LinkedIn or email me, ben@balbertmarketing.com. Enjoy the show.
This is The Beau Knows Who Is Changing the World, the podcast that features those that have a passion and a purpose for changing the way things are. We talk entrepreneurship, branding, coaching, and any aspect of passion, purpose, mindset, and positivity. Business made simple. We could talk about it that way. A simple business where you make a lot of money. I mean, the idea is to make money and revenue and all of that. And you're thinking of an easy way to do that. This gentleman who I have today on The Beau Knows Who Is Changing the World, which this is, and this guy is doing it the way he's doing it, Brian Winch. I think I said your name right. Right, Brian? Welcome, Brian.
Thanks, Chris. Yeah, you certainly got that right. It's great to be here.
Your story fascinates me in the fact that you have a very simplified, that's not the right way to say it, a very easy to understand, I'll say, business, and you've made six figures out of it. What exactly do you do?
Well, it's not glamorous. It certainly isn't sexy, but it's something that will always need to be done. Somebody's going to have to do it. People litter outside shopping plazas, properties, you know, like cigarette butts, used coffee cups, etc. So I started 40 years ago in 1981, a simple parking lot litter cleaning business. And I grew that from a simple side hustle into a successful business that I continue to operate 40 years later. And now I'm sharing my experience with others, and I offer free support to people interested in starting a similar business in their own city.
Wow. So you say you've scaled it and you're into six figures at this point, and that's got to be a lot of clients.
Oh, we've got a whole army of people blanketed around the city that provide the service. Some are part-time, some people work full-time for us. And, you know, sometimes it's just weekend work. People can pick and choose, you know, how many hours they wish to do the work for us. And it's worked out really well for us, you know, the last few decades.
Wow. How do you approach a business when you're looking to do that? Obviously, I mean, everybody, residences all over the country have the, you know, the trash bins outside where the sanitation company comes by and does that. You supplement that, I'm guessing.
Well, what we do is we clean up litter outside commercial properties for real estate management companies.
Okay.
And so it's a very important to them to maintain their properties. I mean, they want their property values to appreciate, and they want to keep their tenants happy and the customers that visit these properties happy. So, you know, first thing people tend to notice when they pull into a parking lot is the appearance, you know, is there litter on the property? And nobody likes to see that. Especially during the past 18 or so months with the pandemic, with people all of a sudden started tossing their used PPE, like, you know, masks outside the parking lots. Yeah. And no. So that just is added to the regular mix of litter material that we safely clean up. We don't touch all this stuff. We use a very unique hand tool that allows us to easily and quickly sweep material into the tool. And it just basically a matter of minutes it takes to walk a property and service it. And away we go to the next property.
That is a very unique concept and a wonderful idea. So it's commercial.
Yes.
So you don't do residential or anything like that.
No, typically, you know, the city provides that service maybe through Parks Department or, you know, they get volunteers. There's a great association out there, a volunteer group called Keep America Beautiful.
Yeah.
That tends to focus, you know, along highways, parks, neighborhoods, etc. And then even residential properties like condominiums, apartment buildings, the resident manager tends to take care of something like that.
Okay, so you're primarily into real estate management. Anything more beyond that for commercial application?
The types of properties that we service in the commercial market would be the small to medium size retail or strip plazas. Mm-hmm. There could be some industrial parks that we, you know, warehouse properties, and even some small office developments.
This plays very well. What you're doing plays very well into this idea of a green economy. And just people helping their neighborhoods stay clean and look nice. I mean, there's nothing like pride in your neighborhood, and that's exactly what you're doing, really.
Exactly. And, you know, I take pride in the service that I provide. I get satisfaction from seeing the results literally every day. After every property I service, I can see, you know, how I've left it a cleaner place than from the time I pulled into the property. And I enjoy the work, the hours. It's good exercise. It's almost as easy to do as going for a walk.
Yeah. Well, essentially, you are going for a walk.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. What city are you based in?
I'm in Calgary, Alberta, Canada.
Okay.
And, you know, we've got people across this country and all across the United States that have sought out my advice and purchased my book to start this operation in their own city. Mm-hmm. We're pretty much in almost every state. I've been around doing this myself for 40 years mm-hmm. You know, the book has been great in sharing this, my experience and the free support I provide with other people. It's my way of giving back, because when I started this business, I didn't have a lot of money or skills or an education. And so I recognize there's a lot of other people that are just like me when I, 40 years ago, and it's very affordable to get into this business. I have a saying, if you work the business will work for you. So if I can be successful, there's no reason why anybody else can't be successful.
Yeah. A lot of that is mindset. You're getting into another area here, but it's all mindset. I run my business. I'm a video and audio producer, and I do the podcast. Everything is mindset, and what you do is certainly well in demand, as you know. The name of your book is Clean Lots, right? America's right. Simplest Business. I guess in many ways it is, right?
Yeah, it is. You can get this business started for almost next to nothing, just as I did. And the key, like you say, it's mindset. But, you know, if you're willing to go out and do the work, it's not difficult work. That's the key. Do what you say you'll do. But, you know, go a little bit further and give your customer a little bit extra. And that tends to solidify the relationship you build with them. And chances are you'll have plenty of work from that one particular client, for as long as you choose to be in business.
Okay, the answer to this question might be in your book, but if I was going to start a business like this, and I live in a city called Glens Falls, New York State, in the U.S., and I was going to approach assuming I had the materials and the tools and things, but if I was to approach a real estate company, how would that initial conversation go if they already have somebody, and maybe how does that work?
Well, they have to have somebody performing the service now, just as they have somebody cutting their grass and somebody cleaning their offices and what have you.
Sure.
The reason our business model has been so successful is we can clean properties better and for less money. And a lot of it has to do with the special tool we use. So basically, I just contact, cold call a property management company. And I'm not trying to sell them anything. I'm just trying to get the information, who should I send more information to? And I'm trying to sell the benefit of my service. And that is, I can give you a cleaner property for less money. I'd love to send some information. Who do I send that to? And it just starts the whole conversation going.
I guess the word simple really does apply here then. Wow. That's amazing. So you've been doing it, you said, since 1981. So what is that? That's 40 years? 40
years, yeah.
Holy wowzer. And you're still doing it yourself, right? Or are you more, you still get out there and walk around, do the walks?
Yeah. I don't, you know, work the full-time hours anymore like I used to, but I still put in 3-4 hours a day. And I don't think I'd ever, you know, I don't have a retirement date, you know, circled on the calendar that I'm going to give this up. I really enjoy what I'm doing, both providing the service and showing other people how to do the same in their city.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's the key, is enjoying what you're doing. If you can wake up in the morning and say, I need to get up and get going on this because I love it so much. If you can do that, that's great, because a lot of people don't. They go to their 9-to-5 and they do their thing and that's that. And you're saying 6 figures, and that's amazing. That really is. Congratulations.
Oh, thank you.
So, yeah, that's really the way to go. Now, in reading my notes here, you have a training manual for the business? I mean, concepts and way, and, you know, best practices, I guess, is the way?
Yeah. Some people call it a book. It's an instructional manual, similar to what someone would get if they bought a franchise, an expensive franchise.
Right.
And it comes with free support from myself. Mm-hmm. And anyone who wants to get in this business, I'm willing to work with them. It really is simple. But it's great to hear success stories, you know, people that buy the book and then they get right into it. There's other people who buy it, maybe put it on the shelf, collects dust for a few years, and then all of a sudden they're motivated for whatever reason. And then they get into it and then they reach out to me for the support, or else sometimes they don't even need my support. It's that simple. And they just contact me and let me know how well they're doing. And then I obviously ask them, hey, that's great. Can I use that as a testimonial?
Can you, maybe if you don't mention names or anything, but can you give me an example of, two things, an example of a question, of a support type of question you might get from, you know, somebody using your ideas, and also maybe a success story if you have that available.
Okay. Well, a lot of people that buy my book have never been in business before. So, you know, oftentimes they don't know, you know, where do I start? What's the first thing I do? So, I coach them along, with how to get started. And even in the book, I've got an action plan on mm-hmm. what you should do to get started. So that's not a problem there. And, you know, there's other people that maybe are already in a cleaning business or something. They're looking to add another revenue stream to their existing business.
Ah, yes.
But, you know, in terms of success stories, I mean, I remember one fellow who bought my book, and this was a couple of years ago, and he reached out to me and he said, Brian, I just want to thank you. I still have a full-time job. I started this just as a side hustle, and I got about 6 or 7 Walmarts in my city, the super centers, to clean. And that's all I do. And, you know, over 3 years, I put both of my kids through college, and I'd just like to thank you very much for the opportunity. So there's that one story. Yeah. And then I've got another fellow who was a school teacher, actually.
Yeah.
And actually, he had a podcast. The funny thing is, I appeared as a guest on his podcast, and mm-hmm. and he'd started the podcast as a way to make extra money. But then at the end of the episode, he thought, you know what? Let me get a hold of your book. And a few months later, he just dropped the podcast, and he turned this business that he started when he was working as a school teacher, you know, at this business on the side. And he gave up his job just about a year or so ago. And he's got upwards of 170 properties now in his area, in his state, that he services with other people as well. Yeah.
Okay, I need your book. Because the way you're describing it, it just sounds so intriguing. And it's a recession-proof, this thing, because everybody is going to need trash pickup. You know, clean lots, I guess. Yep.
It's a cleaning business, and like you say, it's not sexy, but there's always a demand for it. And for those people, you know, it's not for everyone. So that's great. You know, I like that fact, because then there's more business for me.
How does it work in the northern states? Well, you're in Canada.
Yeah.
And the provinces in wintertime when it snows and all that. How does that?
Well, that's a great question. It's not seasonal. Some people will assume, well, you know, if it rains, do I have to go out? If it snows, you know, I mean, there's nothing to do. But, you know, like any other service that's done outside, you make the best of it. You dress accordingly, and you do the best you can. And, you know, the snow may mask the litter material temporarily, but at some point it's going to come visible again. And, it doesn't matter what it's doing outside in terms of weather, people will still litter. They'll still go through the drive-throughs at McDonald's or whatever and come out, sit in the parking lot and open their doors or windows and out go the cups and the fast food wrappers.
Everywhere. My gosh, in my town, I know. Everywhere. Yeah. It's amazing. I mean, sometimes I just walk around and pick it up myself. But
well, good for you.
Yeah, I do. I just do that. I don't patronize the fast food because I don't want to eat that way. But
yeah,
I respect people's desires to do what they want. So I'll just go do that. But now your book and your concept and what you're doing puts it in an entirely different light. And it's just so darn simple. I'm glad we talked today. That's good. How do people get a hold of you directly?
I suggest to go directly to my website, cleanlots.com.
Okay.
And you'll find on my homepage, there is a free download. It's a free guide to decide if this opportunity is for you. It's not for everyone. And then also on my website, on the next page under opportunity, there's a 3-minute video that shows me doing the work. Oh. So if you want to see exactly what tools I use and how the work is done, you can watch the video.
Cleanlots.com. All right. That'll be on the screen when we release the podcast.
Okay.
All the way through. So we'll do that. Brian, I could talk a lot more on this and get into some more specifics. I'm going to invite you back, two, 3 months from now, and maybe we can talk again and give some more success stories and go maybe a little bit in depth. Would you like to do that?
Yeah, sure. I'd love to do that.
Be great. In the meantime, I want to ask you a couple of non-business questions. One of them being, what is your favorite movie?
I guess that depends what type of mood I'm feeling. Being from Canada and a hockey fan, I always loved that movie Slapshot with Paul Newman back in the 70s, I guess it was. I like the Indiana Jones, Raiders of the Lost Ark, the first couple, Good Adventure movies. And then, some of the entrepreneurial ones.
Yes.
There was one with Leonardo DiCaprio a few years ago where he portrayed Howard Hughes, Aviator.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've ever seen that movie, The Aviator.
I never did actually watch it, but
yeah.
Wow. Cool. Nice. Another question. If you had a time machine like a TARDIS from Doctor Who or the DeLorean from Back to the Future, and you could go back in time and visit one person who you respected and admire, doesn't have to be famous or anything, who might you pick? Just one person.
That's pretty easy for me. I would pick my dad. When I started this business 40 years ago in 1981, he had just passed away recently. And he had done this business as a side gig. And I remember going out a couple times with him. Mm. And so I thought, well, you know what? Let me see if I can turn his side gig into a business of my own. And that's what I did. So, I'd love to go back and have a beer with him and say, look at Dad, I hope you're proud of what I've done with your side gig.
Wow. Have a beer with your dad. When did he pass? It was like in the early 80s.
Just a couple months before I started my business in 1981. So, No, he was 61 and, this is 40 years later. And, the thing is I'm 61 years of age now.
Oh, so. You're going to beat him.
Yeah. I've outlived him now by about 8 months.
My dad passed when I was 53 and I'm 62 now. So, I outlived him. Well, that's a great story. I love that story, Brian. That's awesome. A lot of people, when I ask that question, will talk about relatives instead of like somebody famous. So that's cool. Brian Winch, cleanlots.com. It's been great. And I want to leave you with this. Live long and prosper.
Thanks, Chris. Same to you.
Thank you. You've been listening to the Bo Knows Who is Changing the World, the podcast that features those that have a passion and a purpose for changing the way things are. We talk entrepreneurship, branding, coaching, any aspect of passion, purpose, mindset, and positivity. Catch you next time.